All right. I want to give a quick public service announcement right here. This week was a big week. The Supreme Court reversed Roe versus Wade. That was, it's a monumental moment. And I think, obviously, as a church, we believe this is the right thing, that there will be millions and millions of children who'll be saved because of this. And I just want to read this scripture. Psalm 139, 13 says this: "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." This is David. This is the psalmist talking to God. He said, "God, you made me in my mother's womb. You created my inmost being." He's talking about a soul. "God, you created my eternal soul. You put me together exactly the way you wanted me in my mother's womb." It all started right there. Now listen, I'm rejoicing. I'm happy that what happened this week happened, that this announcement was made. But I want to tell us all something that we got to be very careful about. We cannot rejoice with this decision if we don't put some effort, some time, some money, some servanthood into taking care of these young women who will need us going forward. Amen. It's not just, hey, you're doing wrong, start doing right. We're talking about young women whose lives are going to go off the rails if we, as a church, as people who value life, who believe that life was created in a mother's womb, if we do not step up, we are going to be hypocrites. And so moving forward as a church, our goal is to have more opportunities for us to serve. Listen, here's what I think is going to happen, if I can just be real honest with you. God's going to call some people to adopt some babies. God's going to call some people to take in some young women who don't have a family who loves them. God's going to call some people to give some money to do ministry to these young women. If we don't step up, it's hypocritical. Let's rejoice in the moment. This is great. I'm thrilled with it. This is what we've been praying for. But now God has put it back in our court. What are you going to do with it? I've changed the game for you. Now what are you going to do about it? So I just want us to pray about it. It's not a guilt thing. It's an opportunity. And here's what the Bible says. If you want to do real ministry, real religion, the Bible says, is taking care of widows and orphans. Widows and orphans. You know who those people are? The people who can't take care of themselves. The people who don't have anybody else fighting for them. And that Servolution is a part of that. And we're going to send some money to help with the children's home that we're connected with. Our church is connected with Smoky Mountain Children's Home in Sevierville, Tennessee. We're going to do things like that. But I also think that we are going to have to be boots on the ground kind of serving from this day forward. If we are going to rejoice in this moment, we're going to have to serve at a whole new level. We're going to have to seek out opportunities to serve. We're going to not with an "I told you so" mentality, but with a Jesus mentality that says, "I'm just going to love the people who are least." You know, the Bible, this is not the message, all right? But the Bible teaches us that we will be judged by how we treat the least of these. How we treat the people who have nothing to offer to society, nothing to offer to the church, how we treat these people is how God will judge us in the end. And so it's very important for our eternities to make sure that we are serving the right way and doing the right things. But then God rewards us as well when we serve. But we're not doing it for that. We're doing it for one reason. We love God because He loved us first. That's it. That's what the Bible says. The two great commandments: love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. That's what the goal is. So as we're moving forward, let's just make sure that we're rejoicing about the right stuff and we're serving in the moment of rejoicing. Amen? All right, just look at somebody and go, amen. Amen. I almost told you to say something else, but I'm going to stop there. Okay. I want to talk to you this morning for a few minutes, about one word. This word is burden. Burden. A burden could be a backpack for a backpacker in the mountains. It could also be a load strapped to a donkey's back going across a desert. Burdens are heavy. Burdens have to be carried. If it's not being carried, it's not a burden. It's a pile. All right. If it's just laying on the ground, it's not heavy to us. But the minute we strap it on, we put it on, it becomes heavy, and the Bible calls it a burden. There are all kinds of burdens the Bible teaches us about. There's physical illness, and there's pain, and there's spiritual doubts, and there's mental distress, and emotional distress, and financial problems, and family problems, and low self-esteem, and loneliness, and you go all the way down the list. There's burdens that are being carried around this room right now. Everybody in this room, to some level or another, is, or will be carrying a burden. It's just the nature of human life. We naturally are burdened with things. It just happens. You try to lift something that is too heavy for you, and it causes health problems. It causes muscle problems. It causes cardiovascular problems. You get a hernia if you're trying to lift something too heavy for you. You get back problems. I've told this story before, but periodically I forget that I'm not 21 anymore, and I do something dumb to hurt my back. And so, I don't know, 6 months ago, 8-10 months ago, we were outside, and I was trying to pick up something that was too big for me to pick up, all right? And I was not using the right technique. You know, you're supposed to squat down, use your legs. I just bent over, and I was using my back. I was using my 53-year-old back and my 21-year-old brain, all right? And so, and something popped, and there I am. And I, you know, I'm not 53 anymore. I'm 97 all of a sudden, you know? And so I got a little better, you know, I'll be okay, leave me alone, that kind of thing. And I finally, over the next couple of weeks, I got better. And then we were at Walmart one night, and I reached over, and again, not thinking about my back, I picked up something, and on the thing it says, this weighs 40 pounds. And I'm thinking, no big deal. I used wrong technique. I picked it up, and something in my back went. And I got it over to the buggy, and I dropped it in, and I didn't say a word to my wife about it. I got behind the buggy, and I pushed the buggy, and we went all the way to the self-check. And then, in my head, I'm calculating, okay, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? How are we going to get through this? And I remembered, oh, they got that cool little price gun. All I'm going to have to do is just reach over. And so that's what I did. I shot the things that weigh 40 pounds. And then I reached down to pick up a can of green beans. And something in my back didn't just go, it went pow. And I'm standing there with the green beans like, this is stupid. I mean, I don't even know. What am I going to do now? And I do one of these, and I put the green beans on the scanner, and I take hold of the scanner like this. And Jody and Luke look at me and go, are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. I think sweat's popping out at this minute. I'm starting to shake. And they're like, do we need to call a doctor? I said, no, we're not calling anybody. So I reach around and I grab the buggy. Luke can verify this. All the way to the car. I felt like I was in an old Tim Conway movie a long time ago. And I finally get to the car. We get home. Pain all night, just horrible night. To the next morning, we get to the doctor. And the doctor, you know, he goes for it. He starts cracking and popping and hooking up electrodes and all kinds of stuff. And when I got up after my hour and a half with the doctor, I stood up and I'm not straight, but nobody will know it if I just bear the pain a little bit. I can get to the car. I got to the car. Feeling better and better. 2 days later, I go back to the doctor again. I walk out of there. I'm like, I'm a new man. I'm doing great. And I'm just to let you know the end of the story. I've been doing great ever since because I've been using the correct technique now. Don't be using your back, old fellas. Just use your legs. And then if there's a young guy around, you say, hey, come over here and pick this up. Show me. Because they love showing off. You know how we used to be. I used to be that way. Get out of the way, old man. Pick it up. And it, so now I've learned that technique is incredibly important. It's not. Now, when you're young, it's just sheer strength. Just you're just unbreakable, you think. And at a certain point, you go, okay, I'm going to have to learn some stuff. It's like an old fireman told me one time, you got to learn how to work smarter, not harder. You got to figure some stuff out. Wisdom comes along the way. So when you first start carrying a burden, it's just sheer strength. I can do it. I can handle it. Get out of my way. Let me show you how to do this. Sometimes when we're growing in our faith, we kind of look at other people and go, I can't believe this is this hard for them to carry. I mean, I'm dealing with the same stuff they're dealing with, and they're over there falling apart. And we forget that they might be carrying some more stuff that we don't know about, and we're doing it under our own strength for a little while until we're not doing it under our own strength, until we hear the pop in our life. Something gives. Probably not your back. It's probably your checkbook or your marriage or your spiritual life. The doctor gives you a bad report. The scan came back and something pops in there. And all of a sudden, I can't do this with sheer strength. I'm going to have to learn some technique or I'll never get to the finish line. I'll quit halfway. I got to learn how to do this thing. I got to learn what works. And so I want to share three things with you from the Bible this morning that I believe will help us in carrying our burdens. Burdens have to be carried. Somebody is going to have to carry them. So here's three things. Number one is, as an individual, there are moments when you just have to carry the load. All right, you have to carry it. Galatians 6 and 5 says, for each one should carry their own load. This is important. Each one of us should carry our own load. This passage is about personal responsibility. So Galatians chapter 6, we're going to back up a little bit. Verse 1 says, dear brothers and sisters, and when he says that, he's talking to believers. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. In other words, if they get down, you're going to have to get some help. In the middle of the night, I had to, my wife and son had to pick me up, talking about humbling. They had to pick me up, and I'm supposed to be the tough one, right? Pick me up and get me to the couch or get me to wherever I was going. So he tells us you humbly serve. You get people back on the right track. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. He said, look, don't go out helping somebody who's fallen into sin and fall in the same trap yourself. Be careful. Then he says this, share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You're not that important. I love that part. Just lays it out for us. You're not that important. You need to be helping people. Verse 4, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. Now, here we go. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. So there's a part of your life and my life that is my responsibility. If I'm drinking too much, you can't make me change that. If I'm watching too much TV, I have to make the decision to change that myself. If I'm spending too much money, you can't change that for me. I have to change that myself. There's a part of this where personal responsibility says you have to decide for yourself if you want to change. We always have choices. There are always choices in life. Anybody who says to you, I didn't have a choice, they didn't think about their options. There are always choices. Sometimes we don't like choice A, B, C, D. We don't like any of the choices, but there are choices. And the Bible is teaching us here that when we are walking through life, we have to make the decision to serve the God. The burden is on us for personal responsibility. There are some things that I cannot expect someone else to do for me. If I have the strength and the stability of mind to go to work tomorrow, God expects me to go to work tomorrow and pay my bills. I didn't feel like doing it is not good enough to say, hey, I need somebody else to pay my bills for me. I didn't really feel like it. I just wasn't feeling it that day. Personal responsibility. I have to carry part of the weight of my life. Most of us get stuck right there. We think of personal responsibility. We kind of pride ourselves on being tough people. We say things to ourselves that make us feel better about where we are. And I did it all. Nobody ever helped me. Nobody ever gave me an opportunity. Everything I have, I earned it, which is not true. None of that's true. Every one of us has had some help along the way. Every one of us has been given an opportunity. Every one of us has been blessed in some way. But we feel good about it because that's the American way. Just go out there and build something on your own. Nobody builds something on their own, but we are required by God to carry the part that we can carry, that part of the burden. But if we get stuck there, eventually something pops and we go, I wish I had listened. I wish I had asked for help. I wish that I would have asked for some wisdom along the way instead of having to break everything before I did it. Most of us guys, we do this. We always think we're 21. And our wives are looking at us going, oh, gosh, I just don't even know what to say. And they have the doctor on speed dial, right? And he's going to hurt himself. And we still think that we're way back there taking care of business with our own strength, but things change. And God has a plan for this, and he wants to help us. Romans 14 says this. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. Every one of us will give a personal account to God. It's personal between me and God. But as the burdens increase and it's beyond my ability to handle it, I got to learn a new technique. I got to change some things up a little bit. Here's the second thing. We got to carry it, but then we got to co-op. This is not a word we use every day, but here we got to cooperate. A co-op is pretty simple. The dictionary definition of a co-op is an organization in which the profits and losses are shared by all the members. A co-op says you and I are going to go in together, and if we make money, we all make money. If we lose money, we all lose money. You have something I need. You have this product, and I have this product, and we'll work together and trade products, and we're going to be together. We're a co-op. We get some other people involved with us. We trust other people to walk with us through that, and we're going to do this in an equal manner. John 13 says this. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Isn't that amazing that that was a new commandment when Jesus said it? I got a new commandment for you. Before that, it was about jumping through the hoops. Get it right, don't do this, but do that. Don't do that, but do this. He said, now I'm giving you a new commandment, love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. He's giving us a picture of a co-op, of how we're going to care for one another. How do we do this? How do we handle this? It's when something is too big for me, and I get some help from somebody else. One of the most humiliating things I've ever been through is when my wife and son had to pick me up off the floor because my back was spasming so bad I couldn't get up. I'm like, all right, let's do it. My back's, I just lose my breath with pain. And if you've been there, you know exactly. And so you got to say, I can't get up. I'm just going to have to lay here till Jesus comes or I starve to death or ask for help. One or the other, I don't, but I'm just going to have to get some help. I'm going to have to swallow my pride here and say, pick me up. That's what a co-op is. Let go of my pride because I recognize that there are going to be moments I need some help. I'm going to help somebody else. Their burden gets too heavy for them. I'm going to carry that burden with them for a little while. We're going to do this one for another. 1 Corinthians 12 says this, this makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, watch this, he's talking about the body of Christ. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body and each of you is a part of it. It says, if I'm suffering, you're suffering. If you're suffering, I'm suffering. If you're honored, I'm happy about it. If I'm honored, you're happy about it. We have each other's backs. We are carrying the burdens together. We're doing this God's way. Romans chapter 12 says, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. You ever had a sad moment and somebody comes in all happy? You're like, shut up. Just shut up. I don't even want to hear about your good day. Because my day was terrible. We got to figure out how to do that one. If you're happy, he's telling me, I got to be happy with you. I got to rejoice with you. If you're weeping, I got to learn to weep with you. I got to feel it with you. That's what it's talking about. We're connected. We're a part of the body of Christ. If I hurt my hand, my whole body knows about it. I hurt my back, my whole body was out. My whole body was feeling the effects of one little area of my life that was messed up. Just one area. And that's what the body of Christ is. We got to carry our own burdens. But the next technique is we got to co-op. We got to work together. And I'm extremely proud of Grace Point Church. We do this, I think, pretty well. There are times we mess it up just because we're human. But I think we do this pretty well, carrying one another's burdens. Galatians 6 and 10 says this. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. It's a co-op. I got your back, you got mine. We're working together on this one. So I'm going to carry what I can carry. I'm going to be responsible for what I can be responsible for. And then I'm going to co-op. I'm going to give when I need to give, and I'm going to receive when I need to receive. And we're going to do this together, and we're going to honor the Lord together. The next technique is this. We got to cast our cares on God. Cast our burdens on Him. We got to unload it sometimes. We just got to unload it. Cast your cares. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Now, there's a couple of words in there that are really important. Cast is the most important word there. Cast your cares on the Lord. He will sustain you. And He'll never let the righteous be shaken. You're going to be on solid ground. Even when everything else is shaking around you, He says you will not be shaken. He's telling us that if we'll serve Him, the people who have surrendered their lives to God, the people who have believed, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. When we've accepted that as the verse of our life, that we need salvation, we need Jesus, it says He will sustain you. It means God will give us grace and strength to keep on going. He'll give us what we need so as not to go down under the weight of the burden. He'll give us the ability to handle it, but we got to learn technique. Unless I forget it, I will never bend over and pick up anything else again, especially green beans at Walmart. I'm just like, people think, I'm just leaning, I'm getting my green beans like this. It's like it's a toothpick, I know. I'll be standing up tomorrow, though. That's what matters. It's technique. We gotta carry what we can carry. We gotta co-op what we can't handle. And then we gotta cast it on the Lord. Cast your cares on Him. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. What are you worried about right now? What are your cares that are kind of consuming your mind right now? worries are those things, probably legitimate concerns, that we allow to overtake our thinking. That's what a worry is. It's a concern, a legitimate concern, that we allow to overtake our thoughts. And instead of moving forward, we get stuck right there. And worry and fear are cousins. They always work together. Anytime there's worry, it means there's fear in the background. Some of us say things like this: I'm just a worrier. It's just how I am. I'm just a worrywart. No. That is never God's plan. That is never God's will. That's why he gives us technique. This is how you do this. You cast your cares on him because he cares about you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. It's the same verse. It's two different versions of the same scripture. It's just translated, written a little differently. And cast all your anxiety on him. What is it? A worry is this anxiety. What is the area of anxiety in our life that is directing our lives instead of the Spirit of the Lord directing our lives? Because anxiety always takes the driver's seat. Anxiety always takes the driver's seat. Anxiety will never be in the background. It'll never sit in the back seat. It wants to run everything. Anxiety wants to take you where it wants you to go and keep you there as long as it wants to keep you there. Anxiety is after you. And the Bible says here, cast all your anxiety on him. Just open the door and kick anxiety out. Just get rid of it. Now listen, that's easy to say. I know. We're not making light of anxiety this morning. It's a real thing. But technique. There's an old hymn, an old gospel song that says this: leave it there, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust and never doubt, he'll surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. It's a beautiful song. Take your burden to the Lord this morning. What part of that burden can you carry on your own? What part of that burden are you going to have to invite some co-op help into? And what part of that burden are you going to have to just cast on the Lord so that you can move forward? He does not want you stuck where you are forever. He's got you on a journey. He's got you on a journey. Some of us think that if I can ever get to this point in my life, I can relax. If I can ever get to this point in my life, I'll finally stop worrying. If I can ever get to this point in my life, I will have made it. I don't want to create more anxiety for anybody, but that place does not exist this side of heaven. No matter how much money you have in the bank, anxiety will still be there. Then it will be, who's trying to get my money from me? Can I trust them? There will always be some point of anxiety, so we got to learn technique. I'm not 21 anymore. I got to learn technique. You can't carry that burden with pure strength. It's technique. So what is it God is trying to do? How is it that God's trying to work in your life and mine this morning? What is God trying to do? Let's let him do it. I want you to stand with me, and we're going to sing this song. We're going to leave in a few minutes, but I want us to really focus in for the next few minutes here. We're going to ask God to show up right now as we sing this together. Let's do it. Let's sing it together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there's peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Jesus, till every hearts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Just been in that one spot for so long because cares, anxiety, fear, worry, whatever you want to call it, has been the guiding force, the driving force in your life. And today is a day I believe that God's going to start setting you free from that. That God's going to start the process and work. God usually starts with an event and is followed by a process of growth, okay? So today can be your event, and I believe it will be. You've been given a piece of blank paper when you came in here. Grab that real quick if you would. If you don't have one, just raise your hand. Somebody will get that to you real quick. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Gave you a blank piece of paper for one reason this morning. At some point, I believe it's going to be important for you to list the things that are consuming your peace and joy and contentment. The things that are just weighing you down. And we could all probably write this list in 3 minutes. We know what's on our mind all the time. And I want you to do that. But we're going to symbolically do something this morning. We're going to pray. And you're going to write those things down and you're going to start praying about it. And you're going to use those techniques. You're going to carry what you can carry. You're going to co-op what you can't carry. And then you're going to cast the things that you can't handle with anybody's help onto the Lord. And He's going to help us with that. But right now, here's what we're going to do. As if that list was already right here written down, I want you just to crumple this paper up real quick. Somebody's moment of release right here. This is somebody's moment where the last number on the combination lock is clicked and you're about to start walking in freedom that you haven't walked in before, but you're going to have to do your part. We're going to sing this again we're going to sing the chorus in just a minute. I want you to do, when we do this, and we're going to pray, and while we're praying, at the moment that you feel like this is the time for me to do it, we're going to hold this up. We're going to give it to the Lord. And when it's time, you're just going to turn your hand over and cast it on the Lord as a sign of faith. There's nothing, no power in this piece of paper. It's a sign of faith. And I know some of you are embarrassed already. Get over it. I don't know what to tell you. This is what we're doing. And you're just going to dump it out. And you're going to pray about the things that one day, that later you're going to write down. And you're going to go, this is where I need to focus to work on. That fear and that worry and that anxiety, and I'm just going to dump it out and say, Lord, I trust you. All right, we're going to pray, and when we finish praying, they're going to sing this chorus, and we're going to honor the Lord together. Father, right now, we lift this up to you, God. We don't have the ability. We don't have the power. We don't have the strength. We know that we cannot carry these burdens for the rest of our lives, not and enjoy our lives, not and have contentment. We can't carry it and have peace. And Lord, right now, we're just lifting it up to you, Lord, and we just want to release it. We just want to cast our burdens on you, God. We want to cast our worries about our family and our worries about jobs and our worries about money. And Lord, we want to give you all the anxiety that's holding on to us. And right now, God, we just cast it on you. We just give it to you. And we thank you for what's coming. We thank you for the freedom we're going to walk in. And God, we're going to stand on your promises and on your word. And we give it to you right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, it belongs to you. In the name of Jesus, it belongs to you. We thank you for what's coming. Right now, we give you praise. Amen. Let's sing it. Let's sing it.
Thank you, Jesus. Break the strongholds. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Your name is life. Oh, yes, it is.
this with no music. Michelle's going to lead us in this. Let's just sing it to him right now. Father, thank you.
And I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Because I know there is peace within his presence. I speak Jesus.
God, we thank you right now for what's happening. Lord, I just feel something is happening in the spiritual realm, God, that we can't see. Lord, we just pray right now that we would start to walk. That we would start to walk in this peace like never before. We just receive it and we thank you for it. Give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Give him some praise. Amen. 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 Don't pick that up. Don't you pick that up. Put it back down. If you pick that up, we're going to pray something bad on you when you leave here. Right? We just cast that stuff on the Lord. I know some of you moms are like, I can't leave it. You're leaving it today. We're casting it on him. Listen, when you cast something on God, sometimes we want to cast it like a fishing pole so we can reel it back in later. And so it can still be mine. The picture here is cast it on the Lord, because when you cast it to him, you can't take it back. You're saying, Lord, I've done it as long as I can. I'm unloading it. I'm trusting you, Lord. I just believe God has freedom for somebody here this morning. I believe God's working in somebody's life today. Amen. 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 I'm going to say this again. This is on my heart so much. There's three techniques. Some of it you got to carry. But be wise enough not to try to carry the stuff you can't carry. Co-op some stuff. And then cast the rest of it on the Lord. And he's going to help us with this stuff. So, you're not in this thing alone. You're not in this thing alone. We're the body of Christ. Amen. Let it go. Let it go. Amen. Father, we're about to go, and we're going to need your help. Lord, when we're in a setting like this, it all feels good. We feel your strength and your power, and we feel the presence of other people here that we love and respect and trust. And today, Lord, we know that as we walk out, it's going to be hard, but we ask for your wisdom. Help us to use the right technique at the right time and to do this the way you want us to do. And we thank you for what you're doing right now and what's coming in the future. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Amen. 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 I believe God's got good things in store. I believe he's got good things in store for us. Love you. Thank you so much for being here. Have a great day, everybody.